April 2018 menyaksikan kejutan di media sosial apabila juri MasterChef menuduh bahawa rendang ayam yang dimasak oleh Zaliha tidak cukup rangup. Dan daripada insiden tersebut, tercetuslah sokongan dan juga kritikan terhadap Zaliha di media sosial, termasuklah sokongan daripada pesuruh jaya tinggi UK ke Malaysia, tuan yang terutama Vicky Tredell. Dan pada hari ini, Astro Awani bersama saya Rizal Zulkafli dalam Awani Global bersama dengan Zaliha dan juga Vicky di Kuantan untuk menyaksikan demonstrasi masakan oleh Zaliha sendiri dan juga membincangkan berkenaan dengan hala tuju diplomasi UK-Malaysia dan juga hubungan UK dan Malaysia dan juga bagaimanakah soft diplomasi ataupun gastro diplomasi dan juga diplomasi berasaskan pendidikan, makanan dan juga sukan akan membantu UK untuk mengukuhkan imejnya bergerak ke hadapan. Bersama saya Rizal Zulkafli untuk Awani Global. Pada pertengahan Julai lepas, United Kingdom dinobatkan sebagai negara teratas dalam indeks negara dengan soft power. Kajian diterbitkan firma perunding UK, Portland dan juga Pusat Diplomasi Universiti Selatan California. Indeks yang sama turut menyebut kekuatan kolektif negara ASEAN yang berjaya mewujudkan hubungan akrab dengan 10 negara kuasa besar dunia termasuk Amerika Syarikat, China dan Jepun antara lain melalui soft power sebagai rakan dialog. Soft power milik UK ini berdepan ujian apabila pada April, salah seorang juri dalam program MasterChef UK, Greg Wallace, memberikan kritikan pedas terhadap hidangan nasi lemak peserta dari Bristol yang dilahirkan di Malaysia, Zaliha Opin. Kata Wallace, rendang ayam Zaliha tidak cukup rangup, lantas mencetuskan perang pendapat di media sosial. Dan perang media sosial ini turut disertai oleh Perdana Menteri pada ketika itu, Datuk Seri Najib Tun Razak dan Perdana Menteri ke-7 Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. Zaliha terkeluar di pusingan suku akhir pertandingan tersebut. Dan saya bersama TYT Vicky Tredell membantu Zaliha untuk menyediakan rendang ayamnya yang popular di Kuantan.
Hari ini saya akan masak rendang ayam. Bahan-bahannya ada dekat sini.
Okay.
Kita perlukan bawang merah, bawang putih, halia kunyit hidup, cili kering, sedikit cili padi, serai, lengkuas, yang penting ni buah keras.
Is that candle nut,
yes. Yep. Garam and sedikit rempah ratus yang kita blender, yang I dah blend kan.
Dengan gula melaka?
Gula melaka, we're gonna put it later on.
Okay.
Once we start cooking. So, these are all the blended stuff, yeah. And I blend the chilies separately, so we could adjust the spice. If we don't want it too spicy, then we just put half of it. Yeah.
Any recipe, Zaliha, is this your own recipe, or is it a variation of the things that you've collected all these years?
This is my own recipe, but my recipe are based on Tengku Puan's cookbook. I did change it around a little bit because we like it spicier and we always like it more kerisik in it.
Maybe you can explain and share with us this recipe and why rendang is a special dish for you.
Rendang is a very special dish, I think, for every single household in Malaysia, okay? Because and every household have different rendang. There is no right or wrong, I think, when it comes to rendang. But we don't do it crispy.
So share with us your MasterChef experience and what was it like to be able to present Malaysian cuisine, Southeast Asian cuisine to the, you know, to the world in that sense.
It was an amazing journey, I must say. It was really an amazing journey. I mean, John and Greg was really, really good to me. The crew, everybody on Shine TV was really good. To be honest with you, when I put in my application, I never thought that I would even get a phone call, let alone cooking in the MasterChef kitchen. It's just pure luck. And I brought in chicken satay for my audition. They liked my chicken satay and then they called me in to cook. It was a hard journey because you have to go through lots of phase to go into the kitchen.
But you made it through to the quarterfinals, right?
I made it to the knockout week, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, final 16 from 56. So
was it intense, the entire experience?
It was intense because you're not relaxed when you're cooking. Because you have cameraman in front of your face all the time.
Like what we have right now.
And you're also up against the clock, aren't you?
Yes.
So there's a time pressure.
It's a time pressure. Mm-hmm. You've got one cameraman each in front of you, and you got John and Greg coming to you all the time asking you, why is your table so messy? Why are you so late? Why are you... Everything, every question comes out, you know. I said, are you sure it's cooked enough? Are you sure it's fresh? So it's just, they just keep coming to you and talk to you. Mm-hmm. All you want to do is say, just go away, let me cook.
And you decided to cook rendang on that day itself? Or did you know in advance that you could choose what you wanted to cook for the quarterfinals or in the quarterfinals?
The quarterfinals, we were given a brief.
Okay.
So they tell you to cook your family favourites. And I cook nasi lemak because that's my family favourite. And I cook rendang because that's my family favourite. Mm-hmm. So I presented it as the way my family likes it.
What went through your mind when you were facing the judges and you had to present that and you heard the comments from the judges?
I was sad though.
Yeah.
I worked so hard in the kitchen because I need to present the food within 1 hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I need to plate those food. I have a starter and a main course as well to cook. So when I finish cooking my sambal, to me my food is there, done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love it. I like it. But as I said, food are subjective.
Mm-hmm.
If I think my rendang is good, you might think it's rubbish or things like that. You know, so it is really probably my bad luck, my bad day. I don't know. But I would do it again if I go into MasterChef. I would cook my rendang the way I cook it.
Did you know it was going to go viral after he said that?
No, I have sleepless nights. Do you know why? Because when I got eliminated, I went back home and I told my children and my husband, I said, gosh, I got eliminated for making nasi lemak. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I am so going to be chopped by the Malaysians, you know, because I got eliminated for making nasi lemak and got kicked out.
So when that happened, when everyone just took to social media and you know, reacted to that.
Yep.
How did you find out about that?
Friend of mine. Lots of friends from all around the world keep sending me all this WhatsApp, sending me tweet from you, tweet from Tun Mahathir, tweet from Najib, and tweet from lots of people.
Uh-huh.
Even my friends in Sweden, Norway, they all watched the YouTube before BBC pulled it out from the YouTube.
Okay.
They all saw it and they say, oh my gosh, Zaliha, you were in MasterChef. Why didn't you tell us? I said, I can't tell you and I can't comment anything. I'm really sorry, I can't comment anything because I'm tied up to the contract that I signed up with BBC as well.
And when that happened,
your
Excellency, you took to Twitter and you said that you commented on what happened on MasterChef. Talk to us about, or share with us about digital diplomacy.
I could see that rendang gate could become a huge diplomatic issue.
Okay.
And so as a good diplomat, I wanted to get ahead of the curve and, you know, join the debate. And of course, with my knowledge of Malaysian food and rendang, I thought we needed to educate people in defense of Zaliha. So I didn't want people to say, oh, you know, the Brits don't understand our food, because that would be wrong.
Yeah.
And so getting in on the action, putting out a tweet, replaying it on my Instagram account as well, and of course my own comms and press team repeating it on our High Commission Twitter account, Facebook and Instagram. So we're very, social media is a very important diplomatic tool. We've talked about gastro diplomacy, digital diplomacy is equally important. I did it before the Prime Minister of the day
and
the Prime Minister to be.
Mm.
So I feel very proud of that fact that I was one of the first if you like, senior figures to come out to in defence of Zaliha.
But it was not a one-person show. You had your team behind you to also support that.
And actually, I had been out at a meeting that morning, and when I got back to my office, a great comms team will spot trends.
Mm.
So it was actually a chap called Mandeep in my office who came up to me and said, "Hi, Commissioner, have you seen the Twitter storm over rendang gate?" And I said no, and he said, "You better have a look, maybe you ought to tweet something." So I had a look and instantly I knew he was absolutely right, and there and then I composed and sent out my tweet. So I actually do my own tweeting.
But what's the difference between the press release diplomacy and also the Twitter diplomacy?
I think social media allows you to react in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with print media, it's always at least a half day delay. Mm-hmm. You can go onto their online sites, so mm-hmm. often ahead of the news mm-hmm. agenda or in line with what is breaking news. So there is an immediacy, and also you can reach so many more people mm-hmm. through social media, not just in the country that you're in, but if you take this example, there's a chicken saying, "Where's my friend?" but also an audience in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get your hashtags right, foodies around the world would be picking up news of this. And so you reach a much bigger audience